2 Corinthians 3 on Through the Word. And a question. Who do you think you are to speak on God's behalf? Now, speaking for God is a vital part of ministry. Sharing the gospel, teaching, encouraging. But what makes you think you're good enough to speak for God Almighty? And for that matter, who do I think I am? I'm doing it right now. 2 Corinthians is about ministry. And as I told you before, it's a personal book, especially for me. The confirmation of my calling to ministry came in this very chapter. I was 24 years old at a pastor's conference called Preach the Word. Not that I was a preacher, but my pastor invited me, so I tagged along. At the time, I was seeking God with all my heart to know His calling for me. And then it came. As the Word was taught, I knew absolutely that I was called to preach the Word of God. I was elated. Then it hit me. I can't do it. Seriously, this was not false humility. This was an honest assessment. I cannot do it. I don't have the skills. I don't have the training. And who on earth do I think I am to teach God's word on God's behalf? Within just a few minutes, I was both convinced that I am called by God to preach and convinced that I am not qualified. Now, what do you do with that? Back to our chapter. Paul the Apostle understood what it was to feel insufficient for the calling. In fact, some new leaders in Corinth were spreading rumors that Paul was just that, insufficient, unqualified to be an apostle. So in chapter 3, Paul answers. He just finished sharing how we are the aroma of Christ, the fragrance of life. And back in 2:16, Paul said, "Who is equal to such a task?" In other words, can anyone on earth consider themselves worthy to be the fragrance of the knowledge of God? Anyone? In verse 17, "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God." Now that's a key, sent by God. We don't peddle the word for profit or minister to make a buck. We know God sent us, and we know God is watching, so we speak with sincerity. Now, one of the challenges brought against Paul's ministry was that he did not carry letters of recommendation, no notes from other church leaders saying what a great guy he is. So Paul responds to that in chapter 3, verse 1. "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone." How do you know that someone is called to ministry? It's not the college degree or the official papers. It's the fruit. Fruit is the result of your ministry, what your work produces. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." If you want to know if a farmer is qualified, check the fruit. The fruit of Paul's ministry is the people he's writing to. They are Christians because God spoke through Paul. They are the letter of recommendation written by God Himself directly on to Paul's heart. Verse 3. "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." In other words, Paul does have letters, lots of them, in God's handwriting, written directly on human hearts. When Paul preached, it may not have been eloquent, but the love of God was in it, and the Holy Spirit etched that message into their hearts. Well, that was Paul's story, but what about my story? Back at the conference, I was convinced of my calling, and equally convinced I wasn't good enough. Just not competent for the task. I walked to the resource area, hoping I might find some resource that could help make me good enough. College, maybe that was it. I picked up the brochure for Calvary Chapel Bible College. I flipped through the pages to see the classes. Then one page stopped me. It had just two verses on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, But our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That was it. That was God's verse for my calling to ministry. Basically, God was saying to me, you are called, and you are not good enough, and don't you ever forget it. The key word is competent or sufficient. It means good enough, worthy. Listen, I am not sufficient. I can't preach the word of God with power. I can't produce fruit. I can't do it. But God can. And by his grace, God chooses to work through me and through you. As for me, I put those verses in a frame to make sure I'd never forget. Verse 4 says we are confident in ministry, and we should be. But my confidence does not come from my competence. It comes from my calling. Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. But abiding in him, I can and will bear fruit. God brings the increase. And in verse 6, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And this is where Paul's letter takes a turn, to the ministry of the Spirit. He calls us ministers of a new covenant. That's the new relationship we have in Jesus. New covenant ministry is of the Spirit. This is the distinction that drives the rest of the chapter. Ministry not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter here refers to the law, the Old Testament relationship between God and the Jews, etched in stone on Mount Sinai. Ministry in Christ is not of the letter. It is not legalistic. Just like Paul's letters of recommendation, God writes his law directly on human hearts. Our ministry is of the Spirit, his power, his gifts, his fruit. Back in verse 6, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is big. This is why it matters so much how you do ministry. The letter kills. Living for God by rules will leave you guilt-ridden and judgmental. And leading for God by rules and guilt trips will make your followers even worse. The law condemns and kills, as it is meant to. It shows you that you're dead without him. But the Spirit gives life. Ministry for Jesus means the Holy Spirit works through me and through you to bring life. That is awesome. That is glorious. And for the next 10 verses, Paul is blown away by the glory of this ministry in the Spirit. Glory is an important word. The closest modern word we have for glory is awesomeness. But it's more than that. The Hebrew word kabod literally means weighty, or having substance that lasts. All the glory in this life fades like a breath. But God's glory, when God touches something, there is substance to it, a weight, something eternal. And that is what Paul says about the two ministries. The law has glory, but it fades, like the glow on Moses' face when he received the law from God. It was awesome, but it faded, and Moses put a veil over his face so people wouldn't see it fading. Try to be good enough for God by your standards and rules, and you'll shine for a while, but the glory fades. Eventually, you hide behind a veil of fake Christianity, so people won't know that you're not perfect. But in verse 9, if the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? That ministry of righteousness is ours. It means that we bring people to get right with God. That work has substance. That's eternal. That is glorious. Read 2 Corinthians 3 today. Ask God to speak to you about your calling to ministry. It is an awesome thing to be called by God to minister by the Spirit. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That means our ministry sets people free. Verse 18, And we all, who with unveiled faces, that means no hiding, no pretending, with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.